turned our lesson this week, made me remember when I was about 10 years old. Many of y'all know my dad was a preacher, and he had all the children come up and do a Bible verse. He kept asking me, he said, "Son, you got one you've got memorized, you're going to say?" I said, "Don't worry about it, I've got it." That's what I said was, "Jesus wept and I sat down." I got in trouble when I got home, so that's what I thought of when I read that. This morning, our devotional comes from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 29. "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that saith he to his disciples, 'Let us go into Judea again.' His disciples saying to him, 'Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him.' These things said he, that after he saith unto them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep.' Then said his disciples, 'Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well.' Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him.' Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whosoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.' Jesus said unto her, 'Thy brother shall rise again.' Martha said unto him, 'I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said unto her, 'I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?' She said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world.' And when he had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, 'The master is come and calleth for thee.' As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him." Are there any announcements before we go to Sunday school? I think tonight we're going to have singing at 6 o'clock. Am I correct? Let's remember this. Let's go to Sunday school.
Our lesson today is entitled, "Jesus Wept," and it comes from the 11th chapter of John, continuing on in the reading that Jimmy read during Sunday school. And the lesson begins in the 30th verse. And it says, "Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him." And if you see in the 20th verse, it says, then Martha, this is what Jimmy read, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house, sat still in the house. But so that's where Martha went, to where he was, and Mary was still in the house. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Now, the key part of the lesson is obviously the 35th verse, which is the shortest verse in the Bible. And it says, Jesus wept. Now, as I was reading the commentary on this, the writer seemed to indicate that the weeping that Jesus did was silent, but I don't find that to be true, because those around him saw that he was weeping. They saw that he was troubled, because it said, Jesus wept, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. So they saw an outward change in him, that he wept. And so I don't exactly agree with the commentary exactly, because Jesus had feelings just like we do. He did. He came to earth in a human form, and he felt pain, he felt emotions, he groaned, and he wept. If he hadn't have, he wouldn't have been able to experience the sensory feelings that we all feel, and the scripture said he felt it all. And I believe he did. I believe he wept. I believe he groaned. You know, in the 19th chapter, let me go over to the 19th chapter of Luke. In the 19th chapter of Luke, in the 42nd verse, well, let's back up to the 41st verse. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, speaking of Jerusalem, and wept over it. That was closing in on his final days. And just a little while after his coming to Jerusalem, you know that he was crucified. But when he first came up on the city, he looked at it and he wept. And the reason that he wept was for the emotion that he felt for this city and for God's chosen people. And in the 42nd verse it says, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. He wept over this city because he knew what lay in store for this city. That this was about 33 A.D. And in 70 A.D., the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, tore down the walls, tore down the temple, attacked and tore it down to the ground, and killed, they said, maybe hundreds of thousands of people in and around Jerusalem. And that's what Jesus could see as he rode upon this beautiful city, this large city. He knew in his heart what was to come because of their failure. Now, down throughout time, people have been warned about their failure. At the dedication of the temple, God told Solomon, now this was back in the Old Testament times, says, if you'll do what I say, I'll be with you all the way. I'm paraphrasing here. But he said, if you fail, speaking about the children of Israel, if you fail me, people will look at you and say, what in the world could they have done that brought so much destruction upon them? And the same holds true for God's people today. We have that responsibility to do what God would have us to do, that we not bring retribution upon us, upon our nation, upon our friends and loved ones, because although God is long-suffering, there is a point where his wrath will come upon whatever it is that he has focused upon. And so Jesus, as he walked through this land, he walked with all these emotions, knowing what was to happen. And, you know, the emotions that he carried to the cross, I just can't even imagine what his thinking was, what his feelings were. Because not only was he having physical pain, but he was having mental pains, emotional pains that went beyond the pale of just physical. Because when he was nailed to the cross, he took the sins of the whole world with him right there. And he knew it. He knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was doing this and nailing the sins of the whole world to that cross. So we find that he wept when he looked upon Israel. And we find that in the 22nd chapter of Luke, in the 44th verse, as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion, in the 44th verse, it says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You see the emotions that he carried with him as he was being led or to his death. It said that he was so emotional in his prayer that his tears were as great drops of blood. It didn't say that it was drops of blood. Some people say that it was. It said it was as if it was great drops of blood. Like if you cut yourself and you freely bleed, that's the way the tears were coming down his face because he felt such sorrow. And you know, he prayed a most human prayer. And anybody who thinks that Jesus was above weeping, I think, is entirely wrong. Because in his prayer, he prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. In other words, God, if it be your will, please take this away. Take this away because, well, I think he knew the pain that was going to be involved. I think he knew the suffering that he was going to have to go through. And he was in human form here. So not only was he feeling these emotions and he was weeping and praying, but he also dreaded the pain, the feeling of physical pain that he was going to be in. He was dreading it. And he asked God, he said, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. But listen, what kind of sets us apart from our Lord and Savior, amongst other things? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, we as humans can hardly come to grips with that strength that it took for Jesus to pray to God to take this pain and suffering away from me. But if it's your will, then let it be. And I'll do it. And that's what he took to the cross with him. Now, he also said, I'm kind of wandering all over the place here. He also said, well, do you think that I couldn't call leagues of angels to come and help me? And do you believe it? I do. I think he could if he had wanted to. If the pain and suffering had got to him so bad, he could have called legions of angels to come help him, to get him off the cross, to do whatever it took. And the in the 43rd verse of this chapter, when he said, Father, forbid thy will. Let it be done. It says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, because he had human emotions, because he was just like us, because he prayed and his tears were like great drops of blood falling on the ground. An angel appeared to him to give him this comfort that he needed. And I believe that when he was at the grave of Lazarus, he actually wept. I believe he cried. Lazarus was his friend. Now we get into the realm that there was people that were chastising him. And you think how this would be to him mentally. People were saying, well, if you'd just been here, he wouldn't have died. Where have you been? In other words, that happened in several instances here. People were saying, murmuring, if you had just been here. Well, we find that there was a reason for all of this. As I said, he was nearing the end of his time. And when he told his disciples, we find that Jesus had gone with his disciples to the spot at the Jordan where John had baptized. And that was about 18 miles away from Bethany when he got word that Lazarus had died. So he was 18 miles away. There was no way he could have got there in any kind of a time frame. But I think there was a reason for this, because he told his disciples that Lazarus slept. Well, they thought that he meant that Lazarus was sleeping. And they said, well, this is a good thing. And Jesus said, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. He was glad he wasn't there for one reason. And that was what he was about to do, was going to show them once and for all that he was truly the Messiah, that he was truly the Son of God. Now, you say, why? Why would he have to show his own disciples that he was still the Son of God? Because there was still doubt in these people's mind. His own disciples didn't exactly understand what was going to happen. You know, there was Thomas, who forever didn't believe. And there was Peter, who had promised the Lord he would stand by him right up to the time that they took his life. And Peter fled from that because he was scared. And you know what they did after Jesus was dead? They went fishing. They said it was over. So you see, they had their doubts as to who this was. They even seeing all this stuff. Now you think, well, my goodness, If I had been with Jesus and I saw the miracles that he performed, there's no way that I would think that he wasn't truly the Son of God. Well, I'm not going to condemn these people because I'm not so sure that we want to do the same thing. There were some people said that he did it, that he was buying through the spirit of the devil. And there were some people who said, and commentators that I read, that said that the reason that Jesus took so long to go there, he took 4 days from the time he heard to go there, that they believe, the Jews believe, that the soul lingered for 3 days. Now, I don't know where they come up with this, and I couldn't really track down to see if that was a true belief, but they said, some of the articles I read said the Jews believed that when a person died, his soul lingered for 3 days. And that's kind of where the wake came from, if everybody understands what a wake used to be, where people would sit by the dead to make sure that they were dead, because there were some instances where they came back alive, so they had a wake, and they waited a couple of days just to make sure. Well, it said the Jews believed. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know.
We need to find out.
Okay. I'll find that. I'll find that out. But anyway, the Irish are big on wakes. They like to drink for the 2 or 3 days that they are hanging around. And, it's just there was a time when nobody was sure when death came. They could be in a coma and come out of the coma. You know that I'm getting so far off this subject, it's unbelievable. Do you know that in London, they actually put a veil on a grave and run a string down into the coffin through the ground through a tube so that if the person did wake, it could ring that veil and people would come and dig them up? So it said that.
No,
not now. That was back in. the Dark Ages, and that's back in 11, 12, 1300s, in the area like that. So these people may have believed that it takes 3 days, but so Jesus is going to show them that wasn't true. I don't know that, but I do know that he said himself that I'm doing this because I'm going to show you something that will make you believe. These people had doubts. And you look at them and say, how in the world can these people have doubts? Well, evidently, today people still have doubts. I'm talking about God's own people. Where are they? They doubt his power. They're not here today. They have some doubts about his power. Because we find that if you go against God, somewhere you're going to be run to ground. And somewhere the punishment is going to be meted out. Now, our study a couple of weeks ago said that sometimes our punishment goes into the third generation. Listen, it's not necessarily us that we're talking about. It's our loved ones, it's our friends, it's our acquaintances, it's people that we know. But when we're talking about generations, this is our family that could be affected by our lack of belief, by our failure to believe that God is truly the Son of God. And I don't know what these people who have been saved and just go off and never think of it again, I don't know what their thinking is. I don't know where they're coming from. But I'm telling you, they're treading on dangerous ground when it comes to dealing with God and what God has for you to do. Because he saved every one of us for a reason. And I don't know what all that reason was, but there's a reason that we're here this morning. There's a reason he let us open our eyes this morning. There's a reason that he let us take a breath this morning and get up and get ready and come to church. There's a reason for that. And we have the responsibility to trust God that he will bless us and he will keep us safe and he will give us strength. So we find that even to the cross, Jesus experienced human emotions. And I think not all of it was sad. I think they had some happy times. I think they laughed and they mourned and they cried just like our everyday life is. I think Jesus knew our feelings. When we're sad, when we mourn, when we laugh, when we cry, Jesus can understand that because he experienced it. He knows our troubles. He knows our trials. He knows our tribulations. He knows when we cry. He knows when we mourn. He knows why we're crying, why we're mourning. And he understands. And I think he looks down upon us and gives us comfort in that. And Mary and Martha both, you know, they kind of doubted. You know, they said, why couldn't you have been here to save him? And I think that was some of the moaning. It said Jesus groaned, and I think he was groaning because people still wasn't sure about his ways and who he was. Even Martha and Mary sort of questioned it. And, you know, Mary is the one that the world, some parts of the world, have tried to prove that married Jesus and left a descendant. And I won't get into that, but that's a whole nother lesson all in itself. But this is that Mary that they claim that Jesus married. Here again, that doesn't mean anything, but especially according to this lesson. I just wanted to get across that if you had read this, it says that the Greek word used for Jesus wept in this, it said this word means to weep and shed tears silently. I don't think he did that. I don't think he was silent about it. And the reason I don't think he was silent about it was because people saw that he was emotional. And you can believe that Jesus was emotional many times about this world, about us. He prayed for us. He prayed for this world. And his life was taken from him. But he left something here that carried on his mission. He left the Spirit and he left the church. And next Sunday night, now I think the brochure said tonight, as my Bible said, it's next Sunday night. Tonight is our third Sunday night singing. Next Sunday night, I'll be doing a Bible study on the church and somewhat about the Spirit. So let's remember that. Let's remember we have a pastor, and let's remember him, Benny Maggard, if you haven't heard. He'll be here. If I understood him right, he's preaching today. He had an appointment, and I told him not to cancel it, to keep it. He's preaching at the church that Devin Shoulders gave up. And then tonight he's going to visit another church, I think, who had also asked about him being their pastor. And he's going to talk with them, and he should be here next Sunday morning, Lord willing. And next Sunday night, I've talked to him about it and all, and he's just fine with whatever we want to do. We'll start a Bible study, but it'll only be for about, it'll only be that one night because the next is fifth Sunday. We won't have service tonight, and so we'll have to roll it over to the first Sunday. So anyway, everybody remember this. Anybody have any questions about the lesson?
I have one question. You talk about the legion of angels of Christ we call. Is there some more what one angel can do in his power?
In there? Well, there he is. And an angel is, there's nothing that they can't do. I mean, they do whatever God wants them to do. And one angel I would suppose because God grants it to him, has more power than anything we could ever imagine. So when he said that he could call, it seemed like to me it was like six legions of angels or something like that. I mean, it was like 70,000 angels he could call at one time. Can you imagine what 70,000 angels, if one angel could lay hold on this earth and do whatever he pleased, can you imagine what 70,000 angels could do? So, yeah, one angel is pretty powerful.
That's like an army of angels, pretty powerful.
Yep, they are. And their abilities is what God gives them to do at that particular time. We find Isaiah. Was it Isaiah that was surrounded by? No, it was Elijah. Elijah was surrounded by the Syrian army in this little town. The king of Syria was going to capture and kill Elijah. And Elijah got up in the morning and his servant was scared to death. And his servant said, they're surrounding us and they're going to kill us. And Elijah said, no, they're not, because there's more of us than it is of them. And there was thousands and thousands and thousands of the Syrian army out there to capture Elisha. And the servant said, what are you talking about? There's nobody but us. And Elijah prayed to God that God would open his servant's eyes. And the servant's eyes were open, and it said that he looked out, and on every hill, surrounded the little village that they were in with chariots of fire. God had sent the angels down there to protect Elisha. And it said the whole Syrian army was made blind by those angels. And the angels took that whole army, thousands and thousands of charioteers, and led them out of the country. And they never bothered Elijah again. So yes, angels are powerful beings, messengers of God. I know my lesson has been all over the place this morning, so y'all just...
Lord, I like to say I enjoyed your lesson today. I got a lot out of it, and I know I don't ever compliment you, and I think it's because I've been married to you so long and have heard you teach so many, 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 many years that I just kind of take you for granted. But I think you really did a good job this morning. It made me realize something.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
She has said under a bunch. Anyone else? If not, Don, would you dismiss us, please?
He gave me the precious, deliver thine soul. Favors and blessings.